This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 52, how to use freelancing to find business ideas and cold showers to find yourself.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 52, how to use freelancing to find business ideas. You know, I was going to name this how to never get a real job because Nick is my guest today, Nick Reese, is a really accomplished entrepreneur. And he reached out to me, and here's a funny thing. He says, hey, I've been listening to the show. You've done a lot of how-to episodes with some great tactical stuff on that people can apply. And I said, yeah, that's the idea. You know, if people are going to trade a half hour of their day to listen, I want to make sure they get a good return on that time. And Nick says, hey, that's great. But how about we do, you know, it's been a year into the show. How about we do a mindset episode on the mentality required to be an entrepreneur, especially a side hustle entrepreneur? And I said, hey, that sounds good. So we set out to record this mindset episode, and we do touch on it. But in our conversation, we uncovered a unique way to use freelancing to in this real ninja way to kind of gain inside market intelligence into a niche and really be able to build something out, build something valuable from that inside experience. And we talk about why Nick's been taking cold showers for the last 2 years. So stick around for that too. I got a couple quick shout outs for a new 5-star iTunes reviews. This one coming in from davesurf.com. He says, everyone should have a side hustle going on. He says, I've had side hustle going on for 30 years, and I wish this podcast had been around to help me back then. Dave, thank you so much for that. And we got another one from jjarvis84. He says, hacking my day job, 5 stars. I found a way to be twice as productive while working my day job. I'm very busy in the mornings loading trucks, and I'm able to listen to this podcast while I load at the same time. So, Jay, do not get in trouble at your day job, but happy to provide some inspiration and information for you while you're working. I love it. Thank you so much for those. And if you want to leave your own review, SideHustleNation.com/iTunes is the place to go. Anyways, let's get right into the call with Nick. Hey, Nick, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Dude, thanks for having me, Nick.
So guys, Nick Reese is a serial entrepreneur, a hustler, an author, and really a brilliant marketing mind. You can find him at nicholasreese.com and microbrandmedia.com. So Nick, thank you so much for joining us. So let's start off, like, what's your deal? What should Side Hustle Nation know about Nick?
I've listened to a lot of the past podcasts, like I was saying, and basically I don't fit the exact mold where I had a side hustle, but I have failed a lot. My first two business ventures failed horribly, and then I have lived to tell about it and gone on to start several other successful businesses. And now I've coached 109 or 110 entrepreneurs one-on-one that have all gone on to build businesses over $100,000 a year. So today I would really love to share some insights about basically like doing the uncomfortable and making that leap. I think that's where I can really add the most value to Side Hustle Nation.
Very cool. Let's dig into those first few failures. So what was, like, why do you think those businesses failed, and what propelled you to keep going and kind of dust yourself off and try the next thing?
So my first business was a t-shirt company, and this was back in 2006. And I was like most college students at the time, and I realized that selling t-shirts could be fun. It was a good way to maybe kind of get into the popular crowd and kind of make some t-shirts that looked awesome. I went to the University of Central Florida at the time, and I started making shirts that had knights on them. And at the time, UCF was the UCF Golden Knights.
Okay.
And what's interesting is the shirts had UCF Knight on them, which is basically an individual would be a UCF Knight instead of a plural Knights.
Sure.
So that was my whole spiel on them. And I talked to a trademark attorney, and he said that I'm like kind of in a gray area. And looking back, I really was. And I remember I just placed a huge order for a bunch of shirts, and the shirts were like flying off the shelves. I couldn't keep them in my dorm room and sell them fast enough.
Okay.
Or like keep them in stock. And basically, long story short, I got a note about 6 months, 9 months into this business that from student legal services or from the college that I went to. And basically they sent me a cease and desist because UCF was changing their name from UCF Golden Knights to UCF Knights. And so I was forced with this decision. Do I basically I took the note to student legal services and I was like, so what does this really mean? Like, it looks like I'm getting sued by the UCF.
By my own school.
And they're like, because we're funded by the school, we can't help you with this. And so basically it got expedited and it got the attention of the right people. And basically I was forced with a decision where it was recommended that I go off and find a different college or shut down the business.
Wow.
And so I decided to shut down the business. And that was like my first spectacular failure. And then, yeah.
But it didn't turn you off from the world of entrepreneurship. You kept plugging away. What was next?
What was next is I wanted to start basically a delivery company, like an online ordering company where you could basically order online and we would deliver it to you. I didn't know how it was going to work, but we'd found this company, my friend and I, that was setting up franchises for college students that could basically run their system in their town and make a couple $1,000 a month. And I was like, this would be a great side hustle for college. And we're about $1,000 into legal fees. I'd spent all the money I made on the t-shirt company. And then I realized it just wasn't a good idea and we backed out. So it took my third business before I finally had something profitable on my hands.
And what business was that?
So my third business, I did email marketing for real estate. And I kind of stumbled into it. And the story is kind of long. And I don't know if you want to go into the actual story.
Well, let's step back and say, where do you come up with these ideas? I think a lot of side hustlers or aspiring side hustlers are trying to figure out what business idea should I pursue, or how should I come up with a business idea? What can I figure out? What can I sell? You know?
Totally understand. Yeah. So the biggest takeaway from that story, without going into it, is within any business, dysfunction represents opportunity. And how I ended up starting and realizing that email marketing could even be an opportunity was I was working as basically an intern / marketing coordinator within this luxury real estate firm. And there was a part of their business that I found very frustrating. And I'm really good at automating things and building systems. And there's a part of it that I just couldn't automate. We were using an outside company at the time. And it just really frustrated me that there was like 4 or 5 different revision cycles and it just wasn't fast enough. And so I decided to go home and make a simpler, more streamlined system. And long story short, that system ended up becoming a business that I ended up scaling to throughout college and past college.
Well, so I think your quote on dysfunction represents opportunity is a really, really good one to come up with those business ideas. If you see something that's broke or you say, there's got to be a better way, you know, then that's kind of when the light bulb starts to go off for you.
Definitely, definitely. And for me personally, anytime I feel frustrated by a specific element in my business, I know that there's opportunity there. Because frustration often represents that there's something that's dysfunctional, is what I found. And every business that I've built or people that I've worked with, almost every single time that there's like a reoccurring frustration, often there is an opportunity to streamline that process. And if you're encountering it in your business, chances are someone else is also encountering it. So if that frustration is a valuable frustration to solve, it might be a good business idea.
So how do you recommend people get started? If they're, you know, what's the best way for somebody to start earning money outside of their 9-to-5 job? Is it, you know, getting a second job? Is it freelancing? What do you recommend people get started with?
Well, I really think that there's a pretty standard pattern that if you look across biographies or you look at anyone that's really hustling right now and having a lot of success, the pattern is start freelancing. So the world, I believe the world trains us to be specialized in one specific thing. Basically, yeah, you go to high school, you get a specific set of skills. You continue your education, whether that's vocational or in college, and you get a different set of skills. When you're building your side hustle, you get another set of skills. And each one of those, you're basically sharpening your skills to be very specialized to solve a specific type of problem. Now, what I find is if you start freelancing with those specific skills that you've basically honed in on, you're able to work in multiple different businesses that allow you to basically see other people's dysfunctions. So if I was starting out today, and the advice that I recommend to almost everyone is to start out freelancing. And then from there, move into building a solution that solves a lot of the problems or dysfunctions that you find along the way.
How does freelancing, let's talk about that transition from freelancing to building the solutions. I think of freelancing as kind of labor intensive. If somebody is a freelance copywriter or a freelance photographer or a freelance graphic designer, that involves their direct input to deliver to their client. So what would be an example of kind of scaling that to a solution or to kind of a more service-based or a product-based business, I guess?
So basically what you're going to find is I find when I talk to freelancers, what they do is they're often working with a broad base of clients. So typically they'll have like a lawyer, maybe a dentist, maybe a cosmetologist or whoever they're working with. And they're solving different problems in every single business. And the reason, and I think that's the first problem is you're not solving like a specific set of problems for a specific set of people. So what you're going to find is as you work with different businesses, you're going to start identifying different opportunities within each of them. But if you're working with, let's just say you only do graphic design for lawyers or you only do copywriting for lawyers, then you're much better set up to say, okay, I am now an expert after I've worked with 10 to 20 different lawyers. These are the problems that they have, and this is where their dysfunction is. What product can I make for them then? And I think just that mindset of specializing in a very specific market is key to success as a freelancer. And I think far too many people are afraid to basically niche themselves down or lose out on potential other customers, but it's really limiting their upside to find those really valuable solutions. And so I mean, the story that I would always reference is my email marketing one. Like, I would have never realized that there was even this solution or that there was even this problem and I could offer a solution to multiple real estate companies if I hadn't have worked inside one and knew it inside and out. And I think when you're freelancing, because I've done some like freelance web design when I was in college, it's really easy to see it from the outside and just say, okay, I'm just solving this problem for the business. But if you're doing that freelancing work, it's understanding why they want you to solve that problem and what business metrics solving this problem is impacting. And if you can do that effectively, wow, like the opportunities that you'll start uncovering are super, super clear. And so to give you a more tangible example, I had worked with, I can't really say the industry because the NDA is years old, but anyways, I was working in it was a type of farming. We'll just say that. And I realized that there was basically every state has this agency that's a not-for-profit agency that's made to represent the interests of this specific type of agriculture.
Okay.
And what I found is all of them have the same problems. And while I was doing web design for them, I only did two web design websites ever in my life for other people. But what I realized is both of them had the same problem. They had to not only keep their farmers updated with what they were doing to protect their interests, but also have an external media voice. And I was able to identify some very tangible results. And I hate that I can't go into more specifics on it, but I was very close to packaging up a solution and selling it to the corporate body that represented all of the other not-for-profits. And so I guess what I'm saying is if you can find a very specific business type, and then find out if other business types within that have similar problems, if not the identical one, then you have a business that you can productize, if that makes sense.
You know, that does make sense. Kind of putting on the, you know, freelancing hat almost as like, I'm going to, get in the trenches and kind of learn the ins and outs of this specific business. And then kind of putting on your entrepreneur hat and your problem solving hat to say, what's the bigger picture, value add that, why are they hiring me in the first place? And what can we do to address that? I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's like paid scouting. Basically, I look at freelancing as paid scouting. And especially if you nail your branding and you nail your positioning, like right now I'm writing a whole like PDF on that's going to be free actually on positioning and how freelancers can position themselves more effectively in their business to not only raise their prices, but also to get more clients that they want to work with. And when I talk with freelancers, a lot of people think, oh, like there's two different types. There's people who are freelancing on some sort of freelancing website, such as Odesk or Elance or Freelancer. Or there's people that are trying to just build a website and drive traffic to that website. And in both cases, it is far more important that you specialize than anything. And so if you look at the freelance copywriter or the the translator, for example. When you look at them, and no matter what model they're going, whether they're doing it on Elance or one of the freelancer websites, or they're building their own business, if they specialize in a very specific segment of the market, it's really easy for them to position themselves as an expert. And so I know this is kind of a tangent from what we originally talked about, but I think this is important. And so, like, if I was doing this as a translator, because my wife is from Spain, and I make sure that a lot of my videos are translated into Spanish. We work with a translator, and what I found is it's how the words are translated is really important. And so I'll give you a tangible example. Just recently, my wife and I went and saw The Monuments Men, and it's like one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. And we encouraged her family to go see it in Spain. And it's basically about World War II and how this group of art enthusiasts go over, join the military to try to protect the world's art. Okay. And it's got a lot of different parts about like how the Jewish people were impacted. My wife's family's Jewish. And what's interesting is in Spain, whoever did the translation of the actual dubbing where it was dubbed didn't have the storyline didn't have the same impact because they chose to use different words that had different meanings. And so as someone who understands both languages, I find it incredibly important, and something that almost every single transcriptionist that I've talked to has left out is understanding the ins and outs of both languages, not just transcribing it into another language.
Right. It's like the context and the kind of the bigger overarching meaning versus just like word for word. It's right, like why Google Translate is, you know, technically proficient, but kind of misses some of the nuances.
Exactly. And there's this really, really powerful scene where they just discovered all this art and they're like going through this bucket of gold teeth and they're like running their hands through the teeth. And in English is like, these are all the Jewish lives that are impacted. These are Jewish people's teeth.
Okay.
And because there's no words that are like the person that's saying that isn't on camera, in Spanish, there's nothing there besides someone running his hand through the teeth.
Hmm.
And it's just so, it has such a different impact. And I guess what I'm saying is if you can frame your services in a way that says, like, if I'm doing translating, I understand both sides. I understand English fluently and I understand Spanish fluently. And I'm going to make sure that your message has the same power. It doesn't lose part of its message in the translation process. And I think that's especially important. And I think you can do that in any sort of freelancing vertical. And I think that's hugely important.
So if I'm the, you know, I'm the copywriting guy for attorneys, I understand that both the copywriting side and the legal business side. And that way, you know, I'm the best fit for your job, where everybody else is just kind of a free agent. They'll copyright for anybody. They don't care who it is. But, you know, I'm the guy for this specific niche.
Exactly. And then after you've worked with enough attorneys, you're going to start realizing that, like, they have a specific problem. And then how you can transition to solve that problem with a product or service is key.
Gotcha. Tell me about cold shower therapy. This sounds horrible.
So a few years ago, I had just gotten back from South America. I was traveling down there for like 56 days. I'd been to 3 countries and I came back to the United States. I was stoked to continue working on my business. I'd been distracted while I was down there. And I was about 20 pounds overweight. I was in the worst shape of my life, by far the worst shape of my life. And I was like, I've got to get my life in order, and I got to get my business in order. And on the side, I also had traveled to South America with a girl that I knew who absolutely wasn't right for me, but I didn't have the courage to break up with her.
Okay.
And so when we got back to Austin, basically I started taking cold showers, and because I knew about the thermodynamics of water. And essentially how that works is your body spends a lot of energy when it's heating itself up. And so if you cool your body down rapidly, it forces yourself to spend energy to heat that up. And this can be several hundred calories just per cold shower. And if you're interested, Google the thermodynamics of water.
No, I've heard of this. I've heard like swimmers burn more calories because they're burning some calories exercising, but they're also burning some more, like keeping themselves warm in the pool.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Cause I used to be a competitive swimmer. That's how I was familiar.
Oh, okay.
Familiar with it. And so, long story short, basically, the first day I'm like, I'm going to take a cold shower. I'm like psyching myself up. I'm excited to get in there and like turn on the water, so to speak. And I noticed myself spending like the the 3 or 4 or 5 minutes procrastinating, like realizing, oh, well, I don't know if this is really going to work. This is going to be uncomfortable. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? And then finally, I just realized at some point I'm going to turn on the water or I'm not. And I walked up and I turned on the water and it was painful. I like screamed like Tarzan. I was like, ah, like just go it all out. And I let the water hit me and rush over me. And I was like, wow, this sucks. This sucks. I'm like trying to do a 5 minute shower. And like all the voices in my head are like, oh, this doesn't really work. This isn't good. This isn't good. Blah, blah, blah. And I turned off the water and I had failed. I couldn't handle it. And so I remember like almost a feeling of defeat, just being like, why did I turn off the water? I didn't actually want to turn off the water. I was just really uncomfortable.
So you're doing this primarily as a way to burn calories, not for any like reason, like I just feel like I should take a cold shower. What's the reasoning behind it?
Well, the reasoning was purely to lose weight. But okay. Over the years, it has transformed into basically something that represents taking a cold shower is doing something that you know you should be doing because it has benefits for you or your business, but it's going to be uncomfortable. So you learn to realize, or you learn to see how you act in uncomfortable situations. Cold showers for me have come to represent the thing that's been on the to-do list for months that somehow I haven't gotten the courage up to just do. Or it's that difficult phone call. I just need to pick up the phone and have that conversation. And over the years, I've challenged hundreds of people, and right now there's several hundred people going through a cold shower challenge that I run. It's like a 30-day challenge where every day you take cold showers, and you get really comfortable understanding how you act when you're faced with an uncomfortable situation. And I think it's the perfect metaphor for entrepreneurs as they're going through and building their business, because taking risks isn't comfortable, and often you're going to be faced with outside challenges. They're going to have people that want you to stay the same and not evolve. And I really think that by far it's the most powerful metaphor out there. If you're interested in cold showers, definitely check out Joel Runyon's cold shower TED Talk. And then I also have a full guide on my website and a 30-day autoresponder that'll walk you through how to go through it. But
yeah, Joel's site, or the Impossible blog, was where I first heard about this. And I was like, man, what is this? Is this worth it? Like, what is it worth the pain? Like, what's the end goal of this? But more just from the mindset of, you know, if I can handle this, you know, first thing in the morning, I'm ready to tackle the rest of the day, like from that sort of thing, or just kind of getting, like you said, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's huge. And Joel has done a really, really good job of bringing awareness to it. It's funny because he actually tells the story of how when I first got on this kick of taking cold showers, I know I kind of cut the story in half, but basically I started realizing that I was afraid that the same excuses I had about turning on the cold water were the same excuses for why I wasn't growing my business, why I wasn't losing weight, and why I hadn't gotten out of that long-term bad relationship. And after 7 days of realizing that and starting to take cold showers, I started being like, look, I've got all these cold showers, metaphorical cold showers in my life everywhere. I just need to actually take control, and just all it takes is reaching your hand out and turning on the cold water and realizing, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm going to survive. And in 2011, I totally overhauled my life. And that's when I met Joel in a bar at South by Southwest, or at South by Southwest, at WDS.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, I want to start a business. And I'm like, you're not going to start a business because you're scared to be uncomfortable. that was like the first thing. Those were the first words out of my mouth. And we were drinking beers, and I was like, you know what? If you want to start a business, do this. Take 30 days of cold showers, and I guarantee you, you'll start your business. You'll quit your job within a year, and you're going to go on to be pretty successful. I'm like, if you're willing to take 30 days of cold showers and be uncomfortable by yourself, alone in your own shower, you can handle anything.
All right.
You can mentally set yourself up to handle anything. And if you look at Joel, he is taken off because of that. And
absolutely,
I'm like really thrilled with how far he's gone with that.
Well, let's put this out to the Side Hustle Nation listeners. I'll do it if you do it. I'm willing to take this 30-day cold shower challenge if a couple people will join me in the pain. And I think it'll be good for everybody's business.
Awesome. Awesome. I actually have, like I said, a free 30-day autoresponder. It's at nicholasreese.com, nicholasreese.com/cold-showers. And basically it walks you through kind of like how metaphors can change your life. And then it gives you a daily exercise to think about. And then along with some other metaphors that can be like insanely powerful. Like one of my favorite emails in that series is it talks about basically the craftsman mindset. And there's a story, because I've been taking cold showers now for, I'm somewhere in my 500 and something cold shower. I've lost count.
Oh, okay. So this is something you've continued well beyond the 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only taken a break because like a couple of times because my wife thinks I'm crazy. when it's snowing outside or when it's under 10 degrees Fahrenheit, I'm not allowed to take a cold shower in her eyes, because basically I did it in New York City for a little while. Burr. And I started like almost it was a little bit too cold and I was going too long. I was in there for like, I was taking like 7 minute cold showers when the water was like at 34 degrees or so. Oof. When it was coming out of the spigot. And
yeah,
so
it sounds like a recipe for hypothermia, man.
Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend doing it. So basically the thing I recommend is if it's snowing outside, don't take a really long cold shower. Take a cold shower, get clean, but like realize your health is more important than like proving that like this metaphor is powerful, which I could be a little stubborn.
Okay.
So, but yeah, basically there's an email in that series that talks about like the craftsman mindset that I think is insanely powerful for entrepreneurs. It's called The Blacksmith. So if you sign up, I think you'll really get a lot out of it. A lot of people have written in and said they've got it. We've actually got a community, and I'd love the Side Hustle Nation community to kind of get in on it. And it's
awesome. Yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
We'll link you up to that in the show notes for sure.
Awesome.
So Nick, what do you think is kind of like the most important skills, aside from taking cold showers, for side hustlers to learn or to practice, kind of outside of their 9-to-5?
Often, if you look at what science says is actually fulfilling, like where people get fulfillment out of their jobs, it isn't when they're following their passion. It's when they're on their journey towards mastery. So if there was a skill that I think side hustlers should develop, I think it would be a skill of figuring out how your current skills can solve a high impact or high value business need for other businesses, and then transition into freelancing. I think this idea of basically dropping everything and going to become a yoga teacher, I mean, it's exciting, and that's awesome, and you can be passionate about it. But when you look at over the story arc of someone's lifetime, often where they derive the most fulfillment, if you talk with older people, on their deathbed or in a nursing home, the things they're most proud of are often things that didn't come easy, and maybe they weren't passionate at first about. It's often the things that they decided, hey, I'm going to become the best in the world at this, or I'm going to become really, really good at this, and I'm going to have mastery and like towards that skill. And that's like kind of the journey. And so I really think the ability to not only take the skills that you currently have mastered or on your way to mastering, I think your ability to find the high impact or high value problems that you can solve, that those skills can solve in other businesses, is by far the most powerful thing anyone with a side hustle or looking to start their own thing can do.
It reminds me of like the Jiro dreams of sushi, right? It's like, you know, is he passionate about sushi, or is he passionate about it because he's like, you know, become considered the best in the world? Like he's like, you know, mastered the art of, you know, brushing on just the perfect amount of soy sauce and all this other stuff.
Exactly. And if you look at kids who like start doing something, right? And so like for me, like I was really into video games, but I was into video games not so much because they were fun, but because I was good at them. If I kind of look back at it, you know what I mean? Like video games are fun, but often the things that we are good at have some sort of social value to them. And so mastering those skills is valuable. And I think if you can find out whatever you were passionate at as a kid or whatever you're passionate about today, or you're really good at, find out where that value is and figure out that mastery is the actual enjoyable part, and you get better at things that you are good at as you go.
I like that. That's something we haven't really talked about on the show, so that's really good. Nick, if you only had, let's say you're working full-time, if you only have an hour a day to work on your business, how are you going to spend that time?
I would be looking for the tiny tweaks in your marketing that can just multiply your message. And a good example of this was specifically within the email business. I went through and added a small logo that went down at the very bottom of the email next to the unsubscribe box. like basically the button where you click the for unsubscribe.
Okay.
And that one logo brought me in more business than anything else I did in my marketing. Because basically I was sending out emails to other realtors from realtors. And when I realized that everyone wanted to know who was sending out these emails and my business logo was down there,
oh, perfect.
I got more business from that than anything. And so I think if you only have an hour to work on your business, you should be spending other time reflecting on what are your high impact gains. And so there's lots of, it's really easy to give into the advice online that says, oh, you should be doing social media, or you should be doing SEO, or you should be doing this. But everyone's business is different. And if it more than likely, as I'm saying this, people listening have something that they know they should be doing in their business, but they've been putting off. Spend that hour doing that and just taking action on it. Turn on the cold water.
Turn on that cold water, baby.
Go after there and chase that idea.
I love it, Nick. Any parting words of wisdom? Any last minute advice for the side hustlers?
On your journey, give yourself artistic freedom. I think that's one of the most powerful things I've learned recently is I've been implementing a daily writing exercise where basically I'm writing 1,000 to 2,000 words. And I find when I'm stuck with writer's block or I'm stuck at a roadblock, if I just realize that internal critic within me that's saying, oh, you should have used this word here, you should have used that word there, that's only within me. No one's going to be really understanding, oh, you should that idea could have been expressed differently. And the same thing goes for your life. Like, give yourself the room to make mistakes, because often those mistakes can lead to opportunities that you would never have expected before.
Excellent stuff. Nick, thanks so much, everybody. NicholasReese.com, Reese with an S.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
And there you have it. Okay, who's with me for the cold shower challenge? Now, remember in episode 50, when I was recapping all the advice I got from my 49 awesome guests up to that point, and how Miran Bereket, his advice was to go to Starbucks, ask for a 10% discount. Well, to avoid that horribly awkward and uncomfortable situation, the cold shower thing is an uncomfortable situation you can put yourself in the privacy of your own home. And Miran's whole point was to do something that makes you uncomfortable, because in business, you'll be doing things every day that you've never done before, facing new challenges, solving new problems. That's what it's all about. So Nick and I, we recorded this episode a couple months ago in early March, and I was like, what the heck? I'll give it a shot. If nothing else, I'll get a blog post out of it. And that's how I look at a lot of things these days. So I've been on the cold shower kick for about 2.5 months. And honestly, I'm a little worried to break the streak right now, because call it a placebo, but business is moving in the right direction. Things are going better than they were before I started it. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I encourage you to try it out. And when you do, be sure to report back here. It's sidehustlenation.com/episode52. And I'll also have a post on my cold shower experience in the next week or so on the blog. And we've got a couple unfair advantages living in California, because it's never really that cold. But that's what it's all about. I really think you'll like it. Try it out and let me know how it goes. That's it for the show. Until next time, go out there, make something happen, turn on that cold water, and I'll see you next week in episode 53.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.